several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
All right, and it is time for your weekly grape encounter. And oh my gosh, I could not be more pleased to have on the guest that I have on today, because I have for many years been wanting to attend really what I think is the consummate wine event that goes on the entire planet. It is Vin Expo. And I am so pleased to have on today Xavier de Izaguirre. He is the chairman of Vin Expo, and it is by far and away the largest wine event that goes on, and it is going to be happening this June. Xavier, thank you so much for joining us today.
David, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
Oh my gosh, the pleasure is mine. Vin Expo has turned into really just an enormous event. Tell me, to begin with, just how many people are now attending? Because, you know, it hasn't been around all that long, but the growth of this event has just been tremendous. Let's talk about that.
Yes, it is a very large wine and spirits, actually, trade show. We have about 2,400 exhibitors this year, and we expect about 49,000 visitors from 151 countries, and they all are trade visitors.
151 countries.
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm hearing things. There are 151 countries that participate. It's amazing to think that there are that many countries that are actually making wine and spirits.
It's not only making, but also consuming. You know, a mixture of buyers and sellers.
So how does this work exactly? Because for the person who is exhibiting and having for sampling their wines there, you know, it seems almost impossible to me that all of these people can taste all of these wines and spirits. It must be an amazing challenge for the people who visit there.
You're quite right, actually, because the offer is absolutely enormous, and it really reflects what the wine business has become worldwide. I mean, it used to be a business concentrated in a few countries in Europe, and today it's global. It's global. You have markets opening up all over the world, emerging markets all over the world, and traditional markets continuing to consume. So it has boomed, literally, in the last 40 years. And Vinexpo is a reflection of that. Now, you are absolutely right. It's very difficult to for a buyer or somebody in the industry to try everything. So Vinexpo, you have to prepare yourself for Vinexpo. You have to identify the people you want to see, the type of products you want to taste, the companies that you want to meet. So it's not just, fly to Bordeaux and get to Vinexpo and walk around. I think you're absolutely right. You have to know what you want to do and who you want to see prior to getting there.
So to begin with, how do you recommend that somebody navigate an event like Vinexpo? Because, you know, you go there, obviously, you have the opportunity to taste literally thousands of wines and spirits.
Yes.
So, you know, what is the strategy that you recommend for the person who is going to attend? You know, and obviously, this is a great event for buyers, whether they're in the restaurant business or they're a retailer, they have the opportunity to taste literally thousands of wines and spirits. Mm-hmm. How do you begin? Because I wouldn't even know where to start.
It's obviously your selection of the people or the products that you want to taste and the people you want to meet. We cannot give you an advice on how to do it. Obviously, there is all kinds of directories, and we have a directory of exhibitors that it looks like a phone book. So you have to go through it before you even travel to Bordeaux and know exactly who you want to see and what you want to try. It's not just, you know, walk around and taste what you want. On top of that, most of the companies that are exhibiting, whether they are large or smaller, they have, during 6 months, you know, prepared more or less all the meetings they want to have. They have full agendas. Even when they arrive in Bordeaux, they know exactly who they are going to meet and what they are going to talk about every hour, basically. So it requires a lot of work, and sometimes it's teamwork, because, you know, as far as larger companies are concerned, you have a lot of personnel in these stands.
So let's talk for a moment about the meetings, because the meetings are set up well in advance. And this is the beauty, I think, of an expo, is the fact that the people who are showing their products and the people who are potential buyers are getting together in these intimate meetings. Tell me how that works, because that really is the essence of what goes on at this event.
Okay, it goes different ways. There is one way, which is basically you are a large producer. You have a network of distributors, importers, distributors around the world. So you will be meeting these people, and you will take care of all your appointments and meetings and so forth. But it can be also going through a service that we Vinexpo provide, which we call One on Wine. Basically, you contact us. And you, as a buyer, you contact us and tell us, I want to see so-and-so or that company or taste that type of product. Can you arrange a meeting? So we have a full service that will take care of that. So in other words, if you want to see a specific person or a specific company, all you have to do is call us, and we will we'll take care of the appointment and make sure the meeting with the right person.
So you actually arrange the meeting between the buyer and the purchaser?
Yes. When that is requested, definitely we do it. You know, but some companies don't need us to do that. You know, because they have, as I said again, their own networks, and you know, Vinexpo is. How should I put it? This is an incredible get-together of the entire industry. And it's like traveling in six continents in 4 days, basically. And as a buyer, instead of you know, jumping in a plane and going from one stop to the other, all you have to do is, you know, come to Vinexpo and you will meet all the people you want.
I say just show up.
Yes, exactly.
Wonderful. So how difficult is it for somebody who is a small producer to, first of all, get a berth at Vinexpo and to be able to participate? Because it would seem to me that somebody who is, you know, not a large producer, it's very hard to get visibility in this industry. How difficult is it for me to be able to participate at Vinexpo and to be able to be a part of this event?
The point you're raising is a very, very, very interesting and very accurate. Because over the years, you know, obviously we've had a huge attendance from large companies, large wineries, producers from all over the world. But it is true that it was very intimidating and difficult for smaller companies or smaller growers to be part of Vinexpo, and we recognize that not only because it was difficult to get your way through the big companies, but also because of the cost of attending Vinexpo. So we have, in the last couple of years, decided to really open up to this section of this category of producers, because it is number one, growing, and growing very fast. And it goes with the trend that we see of consumers looking for, and even the trade actually, looking for crafted products, artisan products, niche wines, products that, you know, are not standard and distributed in a very large way by the big companies, but products that are very specific to a terroir or to a region. So what we have decided for the coming edition is to open up a whole section of the exhibition to these small guys to make it easier for them to, on a financial basis, we provide small booths that are rather inexpensive and that will give them tremendous exposure. At the same time, we have already alerted a lot of buyers telling them that this section is going to exist. And I can tell you that this will generate a lot of excitement. And we have already people asking us about who will be exhibiting, and they are very, very interested in the concept. So it's a good point that you raised, because it was a criticism that we had in the past, I have to say it, and we are trying now to address that. And it really goes along with the trends that we see. I mean, people are looking for specialties, for crafted products, more and more and more, and that includes the trade. I mean, the buyers are interested in this sort of wines and productions, even spirits, you know, are catching this category.
Well, there certainly is an infatuation with the small brands, the boutique producers.
Yeah.
Just stay with me for a second. We're going to take a quick break. There are so many things to talk about. We could talk for hours about it.
But
hang with me for a second. We are talking to Xavier de Izaguirre. He is the chairman of Vinexpo 2017, coming up in Bordeaux in June. And we will jump right back into this conversation in just a moment as we return with Grape Encounters Radio.
Are listening to America's number one wine radio show, Grape Encounters with David Wilson, broadcasting from our wine cellar studio in idyllic Atascadero, California.
And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio, and what a huge privilege to be able to talk to the chairman of Vinexpo going on in June in 2017 in Bordeaux. With me on the line today is Xavier de Izaguirre. He is the chairman of Vinexpo, and we were just talking about the small producers, because it is so difficult. If you are a winemaker and you are a small producer making just, let's say, just a few hundred or a few thousand cases of wine, getting a break in the industry can be so difficult, but an event like Vinexpo can change your entire life. I just was curious, Xavier, are there stories that you can tell me about winemakers and perhaps spirit makers as well who have had their lives changed because of this event?
I cannot give you a specific story, but it's been like that for the last 35 years since we started. You know, the exposure that we give to these people producing either spirits or wines is tremendous, because basically you have in the same place all the buyers, all the importers, all the distributors, all the retailers that are interested in distributing a or some products. So for a large or a small company, it is obviously the best way to meet the people they want to meet. So it's this number of success stories is huge. I can tell you that, for instance, 2 years ago, I was contacted by the Minister of Commerce from Georgia. Georgia is a very large wine-producing country. We have forgotten that during the Soviet regime, these regions were producing wine, mass wine, for the rest of the Soviet Union. But they are now coming back to what they used to do for centuries. I mean, Georgia is probably one of the oldest producer in the world. They even claim that the first wines were made in Georgia. Actually, a lot of people say that around that area, like even the Armenians and so forth. But they came to me and they say, we want to put Georgia on the map. What can we do? And I said, well, we will help you as much as we can. You will put together your stand, and we will provide all the meetings that you want to have. We will give you the opportunity of doing a press conference, of meeting the international press. There's one thing that I didn't mention before, is that we have between 1,200 and 1,500 journalists and writers from all over
wow.
the world. So that in itself is a tremendous exposure for a newcomer or a new country or a new wine or a new winery. So, I mean, this is the type of success stories that I can talk to you about for for hours and hours and hours. Obviously, Georgia was the first to call us back and say, I want to book my stand for the next edition. And I can say the same for Moldavia, for Uruguay, for Morocco, for so many other countries. Sometimes it's countries as opposed to a specific winery. But this is the sort of thing that we provide.
So how open-minded is the rest of the world to hearing about wines that they are not typically accustomed to talking about? Because, you know, in the U.S., for instance, Georgian wines are very difficult to find.
Yes.
But is the world in a place now where they are really open-minded to this and are really excited about talking about, you know, not the traditional wines that we're used to talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the beauty of this business and the wine business in general, is that, you know, 40, 50 years ago, it used to be a very parochial, very provincial business. You would drink the wines that were produced in your hometown or region. If I look at France, I mean, a Bordelais would never drink a Burgundy, and a Burgundy would never drink a Champagne,
right.
And so forth. And for a long time, actually, the producing countries were literally selling their entire production to the domestic market. But things have changed a lot. And today, it has become an absolutely global business. There's never been so much wine shipped from one area of the world to the other because the consumer has obviously matured a lot over the last four decades. And the consumer has become very, very curious, very interested. And that's the beauty of the wine business, because you start at some point drinking table wine or probably the local table wine. But as you grow your taste, you want to explore other things. And today, because of the communication, because of the traveling, people going around the world tasting other things, they have this tremendous curiosity for wines from different parts of the world. And this is, for me, I've been in the wine business for nearly 40 years. This is absolutely extraordinary because I witnessed it. When I started, it was a very parochial business. You know, you would sell French wines in France and a few other countries around. You would sell Spanish wines in Spain and Italian wines in Italy. Today, these producing countries are selling their products worldwide. Now, if we talk about the United States, you know, 40 years ago, the production was very limited. The production of wine was basically jug wine. Today, the U.S. has become the number one drinking market in the world, even larger than France and Italy. And today, the U.S. is the fourth largest producer in the world. And that happens only in 40 years. And now, you can go anywhere in France, you will be able to taste California wines, which was totally unheard of. Even 20 years ago, you couldn't even think of doing that. Now you go in the restaurants in Paris and you will drink, you will be able to drink South African, Argentinian, Chilean, California wines, or even New York wines, because there's a tremendous amount of curiosity that has been developed by the trade, actually, first, and then by the consumers.
Well, that is very good to know that they're drinking California wines in in France. In France especially, you folks do a great deal of studying of what's going on in terms of wine trends. You have the International Wine and Spirits Research that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about how things have changed in terms of the openness that other countries have to wines that they typically would not have consumed before.
Well, it really goes to back to what I was saying. I mean, it is really now a matter of consumers willing to taste things other than what they have around them. And that has completely changed in, let's say, the last 20 or 25 years. As you mentioned, we, Vinexpo, conduct every year very thorough research on how the market is evolving and what the forecast is going to be in the following 5 years. And we can see trends developing. For instance, there's a one that is really striking us now, which is organic and bio wines. This is really something that has been happening for quite a while. I mean, it's not just a new phenomenon. But for the first time, we see a tremendous amount of interest from consumers and, of course, professionals to the biodynamic and organic wines. So we decided, because it's no longer a fashion or a fad, it has become almost a category, we decided to open up a special section at Vinexpo for organic wines. So this is the kind of thing we search, we analyze, and we also, you know, make decisions of creating the platform for professionals to discover new products or products that follow a specific trend.
Okay, so I really want you to hold that thought, because organic and biodynamic wines is such an interesting topic. So let's take just a very quick break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about that a little bit more. We're talking to Xavier de Izaguirre. He is the chairman of Vinexpo 2017, and wow, what a huge, huge event. We'll talk more about what's going on in June of 2017 in Bordeaux when we return with Grape Encounters Radio.
Now, back to Grape Encounters with David Wilson.
A bottle of red, a bottle of white. It all depends upon your appetite. I'll meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
Back with Grape Encounters Radio, and what a distinct pleasure to have on Xavier de Izaguirre. He is the chairman of Vinexpo 2017. It'll be taking place in Bordeaux. This is just a mammoth event. If you are a winemaker, if you are a wine buyer, a restaurant, a distributor, this is the event you want to go to. I've got Xavier on the line. How many people will actually go to Vinexpo? It's a mammoth event, right?
We expect 48,000 professionals. Again, I mean, this show is not open to consumers, to the public. It's only trade people. So we will we expect around 49,000 to 50,000 visitors.
I'm guessing it's hard to get a room in Bordeaux during Vinexpo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a very good point, because for years we've been fighting with the city of Bordeaux because we didn't have enough decent bedrooms actually to offer. But things have improved a lot. I mean, the city of Bordeaux has incredibly moved. It's today one of the most beautiful cities in Europe, and they've got all kinds of awards, traveling awards and all that. The city also has been recognized by the UNESCO, and so we have a tremendous amount of tourism. So the rooms have improved, and there's a lot more rooms than before.
So I guess you don't just stay in hotels. You can stay in private homes, all kinds of things, right?
Yes. Yeah, you can rent a house. You can rent an apartment. You can also, you know, a lot of people, you know, even go to the seashore, because, you know, Bordeaux is only 30 minutes away from the beautiful summer resort of Arcachon. So some of the big companies, you know, even rent boats in that area and commute every day with Vinexpo. Big improvements also that we have since the last edition is that we have a tram that comes from straight from the center of the city to the Vinexpo gate. So you can be at Vinexpo in less than 20 minutes. It used to be almost a nightmare, but today it's very, very easy.
So talk to me about the venue where the event is actually held. Is it more than one place, or is it just one single place?
It's one single place, but it's very spread out. It's just in the outskirts of Bordeaux, in a beautiful area between the Gironde River, and it's, you know, that's where the vineyards really start. So we're right on the edge of the Médoc, and also there's a beautiful lake around the Vinexpo site. So we have a series of buildings. One is the major exhibition center that has been around for a long time, actually. When it was built, that building was the longest building ever built in Europe. It was 1 kilometer long.
Wow.
But around that site, now you have a very, very well designed and organized international center. There's also a beautiful soccer stadium. There is all kinds of buildings. There's also a major, major museum that was inaugurated just about a year ago, which is La Cité des Vins. It is a museum about the wines, but not the Bordeaux wines or not the French wines. It is a museum about the wines of the world, and not showing barrels and bottles. It is really a cultural museum that where there's so many different events and get-togethers and conferences and all that. So all this is in the same, more or less the same area, which has become really quite beautiful, quite gorgeous. So it's a series of buildings, but they all are connected, and you move from one another. So we, Phoenix, will rent most of the space, actually, for 1 week.
So just a slight departure. I think sometimes when at least Americans think about Bordeaux, they think about it as being a pretentious place. But everybody that I've ever met from Bordeaux, the winemakers there, are very unpretentious and very down-to-earth people. You know, what really is the atmosphere when you get there? And when you go to Vinexpo, besides going to the exhibition and this event, you know, what are the other things that people will take advantage of when in Bordeaux?
So much going on now in Bordeaux, whether on the cultural side or architectural side. This is one of the most beautiful cities in Europe. You know, it's very much like St. Petersburg in many ways. It's an 18th century city which has completely been reorganized, restructured, repainted, everything. It used to be a bit dark and unfriendly. You're absolutely right. You know, some years ago it was not so open as it is today, but because of the mayor, Juppé, in the last 30 years, I mean, the tremendous amount of work has been done, and also the openness you're talking about, yes, indeed, it comes from the wine people, of course, which, you know, it's a business of friendship and relationships, and today, when you go to Bordeaux, you're really welcome as an important participants to the putting the wines on the world map. So you're always welcome. There's also a brand new generation of young, bright people, because Bordeaux also is a very big center for aviation. We have, you know, all the Falcon aircrafts are built in Bordeaux, so we have a lot of young engineers and people. They brought a lot of young and fresh spirit, you know, which really makes Bordeaux today very, very special. Also, it is a blessed country in many, many ways, because you have 30 minutes from the Atlantic Ocean with fantastic beaches. You're 2 hours from the Pyrenees, so you can ski all winter. You're less than 2 hours from Spain, so you can go to the other side and discover the Spanish cuisine and so forth. It's probably one of the best centers in France for gastronomy. We have so much to offer, you know, the foie gras and so many specialities, and of course, probably some of the best wines in the world. When you're in Bordeaux, you have so many opportunities. It is just unreal. I mean, there's very few cities in the world that can offer such a variety of opportunities and pleasures also.
Well, you could be the head of the Bordeaux Tourism Board. Wow. So let's go back for a second and talk about organic wines for a second, because this is such an interesting topic. You know, it wasn't very long ago that organic wines were, you know, I hate to say it, but they weren't that delicious, you know, and now all of a sudden the organic wines, the biodynamic wines, are really actually some of the best wines that are being made. So this is a very important focus of this year's Vinexpo, right? And let's talk about that. Tell me what kind of attention you're paying to these wines at Vinexpo 2017.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is really a trend that we believe is a very long-term trend. We see all these wines. I mean, it's really coming, you know, from, how should I put it? For decades, producers have tried to produce wines according to certain guides and certain ratings, and trying to get the best marks. And they were kind of losing their soul and personality by doing that, because they wanted to please Mr. So-and-so and get good ratings. Today, it's exactly the opposite. Today, the growers, large and smaller, actually, actually want to give the personality of their products back to the wines. So we're more than never in the wine business with the organic trend, going back to this terroir approach. You know, if you know what I mean by terroir,
sure.
Which is really the reflection of what a specific area can produce. And of course, according to regulation, is not the same from one country to the other. You know, when it comes to organic wines, but basically, when people want to produce an organic wine, they have to obviously not use all the chemicals and products that have been used in some areas. The one thing that I want to stress here is that there's much more organic wines and bio wines than you think. Because in my opinion, there's a lot of people around the world, and particularly in France, I have to say, I'm a little bit biased, that have been producing bio wines without knowing it. Because we have a very strict regulation in France. You cannot use fertilizers. You cannot water the vineyards. You cannot use this or that type of pesticide or herbicide and all that. So there's a lot of wines that have been bio and organic without knowing it. So I personally think it's a wonderful to get this, all of a sudden, this consumer interest and awareness about these products, because we're going back to the basics. We're going back to what the wine business is all about, a tiny little vineyard, a vigneron or a winemaker producing a unique wine and with his passion and with his savoir-faire, as opposed to making industrial wines which is happening in some parts of the world.
Yeah, there's no disputing the fact that the wine industry is experiencing some amazing changes, and it's definitely a positive evolution we're witnessing. I want to talk a bit more about the organic and biodynamic trend going on all over the world, and we'll do that after a short break. I'm so honored to have Xavier de Izaguirre on the line to give us an amazing overview of Vinexpo 2017. It's happening in Bordeaux, and I think I've got to go.
Your Grape Encounter with David Wilson will continue right after this. And while you're listening to these important messages, we are going to sip into something more comfortable. Like certain wines, he's syrupy, sweet, and has long legs. Here's David Wilson.
Back with Grape Encounters Radio and my very esteemed guest, Xavier de Izaguirre, chairman of Vinexpo Bordeaux 2017. A few minutes ago, we were talking about probably the single most important change in the wine industry. Isn't it amazing that now we're making these organic and biodynamic wines, and you would think that would be more difficult, but in reality, when we do things in a more natural way, we actually create a better product, and it actually is less stress on the environment, but maybe perhaps less stress on the winemaker as well.
Absolutely, absolutely, and much more rewarding, you know, because
yes.
if you produce a wine of that quality, obviously the consumer is going to be around, and you will get recognition. So it is really the artisan approach has always been very rewarding.
Okay. So there's one last thing I want to talk about before we go, and we are talking to Xavier de Izaguirre. He is the chairman of Vinexpo 2017, and I don't want to leave before we talk about Spain as the country of honor for this year's Vinexpo. Spain is just red hot right now as wines are concerned. Let's talk about this honor that's being bestowed on them, and where are Spanish wines going?
Well, actually, yes, we decided to pay tribute to the Spanish wines. We did 2 years ago, as a matter of fact, pay a tribute to the U.S.
Yes.
market and the U.S. Wine production. But this year, it's Spain. Why? Because Spain is among the three largest wine producers in the world. And there are, as you say, it's certainly very, very trendy now. For us also in Bordeaux, Spain is our brother, as our neighbor. You know, it's It's only, you know, from Bordeaux to Rioja, it's 3 hours driving. So we are very, very connected to the other side. We like each other. There's always been a lot of exchanges between the two sides. So it was time to pay tribute to our friends from Spain. Also, I'm sure you know that in the last 20 or 25 years, the Spanish gastronomy has improved tremendously. And there's so many incredible restaurants, even three-star restaurants, actually, in Spain. It's just amazing. The creativity of some of the chefs, whether on the Basque side or the Catalan side, is just fantastic. So that's what we are also planning to do. We will bring to Bordeaux not only the best wines of Spain, but also the best chefs of Spain. So we will have a really kind of a gigantic food pairing operation event, and we hope that this will not only fascinate the trade, but also the press that will be attending.
What do you think is the reason behind the interest in Spanish wines now? Because I operate a retail wine store in addition to hosting the show, and yes, Spanish wines are very hot right now, but I have not put my finger on why that is.
First of all, the quality of the wines has improved a lot and is really getting into, I mean, the quality really is now matching what the consumer likes. You know, they're more on the fruit, they're more on the balance type of wine.
Right.
And the other reason also, I believe, is that they have been extremely good value wines. You know, you can get fantastic Spanish wines at reasonable prices. And that explains also the success that they have worldwide, and not only here, but worldwide. So it's a combination of improved quality, not improved quality, I should say, a quality that is more leaning to what the consumer likes today. You know, younger wines, fresh wines, fruity wines, as opposed to these little heavy wines that they used to produce in the old days, and also very, very interesting pricing.
I would imagine that an event like Vinexpo can actually really change trends as far as wine is concerned, because you can have a great impact on how much of these wines make it into other countries and get recognition.
Well, we try to do that. I mean, I would be very modest. We're not setting the trends, but we're certainly creating the platform for the trends to sort of appear, and we would certainly also create the platform to promote the trends. And hopefully, this edition of Vinexpo will help the Spanish wines to even to get an even better market share worldwide.
Okay, we just have a couple of minutes left. I want to ask you, because you do engage in a great deal of research, can you share with us just a few things that you'll be sharing at Vinexpo in terms of trends in the wine world? Just a couple of tidbits to tease our audience.
Okay, there's two things that, you know, we have during Vinexpo, besides all the business and glamorous part of it, we also have very interesting conferences and seminars. And the two topics that we're going to address, main topics, we have about 80 or 85 different conferences, but the two main topics that we are going to address, one is global warming, the impact of global warming on winemaking worldwide. It is a subject that, you know, people want to address and talk about, because it's very interesting. So we'll have all kinds of experts from around the world to address that. And the other topic, which is a bit more in line with the current situation in Europe, is the impact of Brexit on the wine business. The English market being the largest importing market in the world, obviously Brexit addresses, I mean, creates a couple of issues that we need to address.
But don't tease me now. In terms of, first of all, global warming, what do you expect is going to be the outcome of the discussion at Vinexpo?
I don't know, because that's up to the experts here to talk about. It is a fact that you know, global warming has an impact on winemaking, so we need to study what that impact is, and we need to do that with experts from both sides, you know, from the climate side, experts side, and from the winemaking side also.
How much studying is currently being done in terms of the impact of global warming on the winemaking business?
Well, there's a lot of studies going on worldwide, and that's what we're hoping to get is, you know, the great experts of the world share their information and their studies and their research about the subject.
And then in terms of Brexit, you know, I wouldn't have even thought about Brexit Brexit having an impact on the wine business, but what are those potential impacts?
Well, you know, as I said, I mean, nobody knows at this stage what England is going to do. Being the largest importing country in the world, that has an impact, of course.
Well, listen, what a pleasure it's been to have you on. It's been a wonderful time to share with you.
Thank you.
And I'll look forward to seeing you in June. I'm going to find my way over there. If I can get a room, that is, that's going to be tricky. But our guest today, Xavier de Izaguirre, he is the chairman of VinExpo.
It was wonderful to talk to you, David, and I certainly hope you will be with us during VinExpo in June.
Okay, if I'm there, will you buy me a glass of wine?
I will buy you a glass of wine, absolutely, and maybe two.
All right, well, thank you so much. What a pleasure. That is going to do it for Grape Encounters today. We will see you next week with another Grape Encounter, and we will see you in June at VinExpo in Bordeaux.
Your Grape Encounter isn't over. We're just taking a breather until next week's edition.